there is something that is meant to be and is so powerfully encouraging and singing with one another. There's a reason that it's such a powerful experience when you take a step back and the room is just singing over each other, and you hear everyone's voices. It's part of why I love the way that the room at Vintage Downtown is shaped in that semicircle, is because when I'm down on the floor, I can see the people across from me worshiping. And we're in that moment together, and we hear each other's voices, and that is what it's meant to be. Scripturally, in days long past and the days that are ahead, that is what it looks like, and that is what it sounds like. And it's meant to be that encouragement for us, and it's meant to be such a beautiful thing. So, like, give your voice to that. Like, give yourself to that for the sake of yourself and for the sake of the people around you. It's such a good thing. Let it out.
You're listening to Vintage Stories. I'm Jennifer Murphy.
And I'm Michael Murphy.
Today's episode is an interview with Tyler Wright, who is the director of worship at Vintage Downtown.
Not only did we get an opportunity to learn a little bit more about him, but we also got to learn kind of the role that the music and just engaging with not only our minds and our thoughts, but also with our bodies and getting engaged. It was great to hear it from a perspective of, as you'll learn, an individual that's been engaged in leading worship for the majority of his life. This is a really special episode.
And make sure you listen all the way through, because there is an original song at the end.
Yeah, so without further ado, let's go ahead and dive in.
So we're here with Tyler Wright. Even if a lot of you, maybe you're like, I don't know who Tyler Wright is. You know who Tyler Wright is if you've been to Vintage Downtown. And we'll get into that. So Tyler, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how'd you come to be in Raleigh? Are you from here?
Yeah, I'm a Raleigh native, born and bred.
Oh, wow.
So I grew up a little more on the north side, a lot closer to where Vintage North is, actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I grew up in Raleigh and was raised here with my family. And then I got to go to college out near St. Louis at this little tiny place called Greenville University. So I got to study worship studies out there, and then I ended up actually just moving straight back home. I was leading worship, and I was a barista. So I actually started getting to know more folks downtown Raleigh when I was working in Brew at Seaboard Avenue.
Yeah.
Seaboard Station.
I know that place.
Yeah. I also, at the same time, wound up with an opportunity to go out and tour with a punk rock band.
No. Did you really?
So, yeah. So I took a bunch of the not much money that I had and switched over a bunch of my music gear and learned how to play these parts, and actually had this really cool opportunity to travel the country and play music with a band for a while.
How long?
For a few months.
Yeah.
I had befriended a vintage musician named Michael Hudson, who's one of the longtime faithfuls of Vintage Downtown music. And when I got back, I was actually kind of in a place of like, I want to maybe not be at a church right now. Because I had been through middle school, high school, college, I was always leading worship, and I was always dedicated to a ministry position. And so I wanted to take advantage of the opportunity to not be and just rest for a little bit. And he's like, hey, I get where you're at. I was in Portland and he FaceTimed me and he was like, look, you just got to try Vintage. You just got to check it out. And I was like, okay, when I get back in town, I'll go and I'm just going to hang out. And I did. And I came back and fell in love with so many of the rhythms that Vintage was in, and got to know Matt Stevens. And we sat down and we actually started talking about some of the material that he was reading was the same material that I was studying for a master's of worship studies. Mm. And so to see the connection there and to see a shared value there was really interesting. And so I started volunteering at Vintage, and then I started band leading at Vintage, and then eventually came on staff, and it has evolved from there.
You know, now as like the director, you're coordinating all these different musicians and all the services, and now we're back in the fall, so Thursday services are back. Just kind of tell us a little bit more about like what you're doing now.
My position at Vintage is maybe a little bit different of a format than what maybe most worship leader positions are are like in most churches, at least in our area, is I have the luxury of having other band leaders. The day-to-day is a lot of that scheduling, and it's a lot of making sure essentially that teams and other leaders are equipped for their experience to go smoothly as possible when they lead. And then also trying to create some rhythms to disciple those leaders and disciple our other musicians that while we're leading, we're also being formative for each other, and that we're growing, that we're improving, that we're really stretching into whatever that next step is for us as musicians, for us as worshipers, for us as Vintage Church. I do get to split my time kind of between that administrative and planning and structural, and also I get afforded a lot of time for that creative work too, which is really unique and nice. And really fortunate. And we get to work with so many really incredible musicians, and I tell them that all the time, but I mean, if you look at kind of the cast of who we're working with, I mean, there are just a lot of really quality musicians at Vintage, and so to have that many people to work with, it allows us some really exciting privileges of being able to do some really cool stuff because they're just an unreasonable amount of really talented and passionate musicians. So I consider myself really fortunate that that's sure. Like, that's all I've known at Vintage is this like incredible level of talent and this incredible level of commitment and passion. So
your job would get a lot harder if the well dries
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Yeah. Either it'd get a lot harder or we just do a lot more acoustic sessions.
So. Yeah. So you mentioned kind of writing some of your own original music. How does one go about writing a worship song? I mean, do you say, all right, tomorrow at 2 p.m. I'm going to write this song? Or do like a feeling comes to you, you take notes? Like tell us, for you anyway, how does it go?
I find writing worship music so much harder than writing any other kind of music. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we are trying to be really specific with the purpose of why we sing certain songs. And when I first came on, that was something that was a huge priority for both Matt Stevens and me in sitting down and thinking, hey, this is an opportunity that we have. We want to capitalize on this. And actually the experience of having a job where there's time for that carved out isn't something that I've ever been in before. So anything that I've written has been like, I've got some extra time, I'm feeling inspired, or I'm going through this thing and I'm going to write about that. There is hard set hours in my week that I set aside that I do nothing else but try to create those ideas. And then spending time in scripture, I mean, I do spend a lot of time in the Psalms. I mean, whether it's journaling about my experience with the Lord or even just sitting in silence. I know those ideas come in a number of ways, but the first idea that came out for something like the song No Shame wasn't very good. I had like a few lines that I was like, I think there's something to this. And then Matt and I sit down and we go over it and we trim the fat, we cut away the stuff that's not good, and then we kind of fill in the gaps. And it's actually a pretty labored process between the back and forth. It actually kind of takes a while.
I've been to concerts. Someone's like, I've got some original content. And they're like, man, I don't want to hear your original content. I don't know the original content. So writing original content and playing it for the first time and getting folks engaged with it. And obviously Vintage thinks it's important because they're carving out some time and expect to come up mm-hmm. with some of that. So what role does that play? How hard is it to get it into the congregation and into the church and everybody starts singing it? Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to introduce a new song and why it's important for the church?
I feel like being really intimidated in introducing an original song, I was worried that people would be kind of slow to trust it. And I found the opposite. I think when people felt like, this is a song that is for us as Vintage. And it very much is. I mean, the approach in writing and creating any idea for worship song is contextualized in what are the people of Vintage experiencing? Where do we sit within our time and our culture and just the stories that we know of our people? What is our response and how does the character of God fit into that experience? So it is a song very much for Vintage and bringing that forward. And, you know, there are ways to try to teach that really well musically. But I actually found that people were really, I think, super ready to identify with something, to feel like, oh, this is our voice, which is the goal. So at least with a song like No Shame, when that happened, I think there were a lot of people who were really ready to be enthusiastic and to be supportive of the idea. Not so much like, oh, like Tyler, you wrote a song, like, we support you.
Yeah.
But I think it, fortunately, I think people were in that place and that attitude to say like, oh, the intention behind this is for us to identify this as with this as a local church, as a local body, and people really gravitated to that. And so I think at least in that song, and that's what we're trying to do with all of them that we write, is that we as a local body, with the experiences that we know of each other, we have a song that is ours. It is one thing, and it's a very good thing, to take songs that are written out of somewhere else, and we can see where our voice fits into that. But I think it's just a different idea, and it's a different, you feel a different belonging to the voice of your own people, your own tribe of a vintage song.
Yeah.
Because I think you feel like, ideally, when leaders are writing a song, when anybody's writing a song as a part of that body, then it feels like it's an expression with you in mind. And I think that makes it easier to gravitate towards, and I think it makes it easier to lean into it into a deeper way, because it belongs to vintage. I think that adds a different layer to our expression of worship and how we engage ourselves with it, that I think it makes it easier for us to embrace it collectively as the body, and not just like, well, this is where I individually find my place in it, but this is like, this is a vintage thing as the larger body. And I think it's really important for people to make that connection from a collective sense.
Sure.
That this is... this is us. It is me. It is I, but it is us, and it is we. And that's a really powerful component in our worship that I'm always really passionate about, is how do we have experiences like that and introduce ideas like that amidst a culture that is increasingly and aggressively individualistic.
Has it always been three songs of worship and a dive into scripture and three to close out? Has it always been like that? Or is that what other churches do? Where did that come from? Or what role does it play?
While I have been around, that has kind of been the flow of a service. I don't know. I kind of think Matt Stevens would have to speak into that a little bit, because I'm not one of the guys that has been around the whole time. So at least for a while, it has been that flow of... there's a flow of, we gather together in these songs and we take that moment of confession and assurance and we place it there. We sing another song that kind of responds to that idea, and then scripture, and then another time of an opportunity to respond. And I think you find that beyond vintage, there are a lot of models that do kind of take that flow, that there is a time of engagement and we spend time adoring God and praising God, claiming who He is, and we kind of... you know, I think it's really important that we start there, that we shape our attitude around that, and then it kind of opens us up to be taught and to be spoken to from the Word of God. And then we have another opportunity to respond and to give, to pray with one another, to celebrate communion together. So that shape is very intentional. It is embodied in a lot of different looks. So vintage's shape of these things amidst six songs, and they kind of surround that time in the Word. That may be particular to vintage, but you would find in a lot of churches that kind of, there's a gathering and we posture ourselves a certain way and we observe certain parts of the gospel in a really similar way all the time, because it's important that we habituate ourselves to remembering our sin and what the love of God and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God really is. And then we spend time in the Word and we celebrate the table. And then we, at the end, as we respond and we send out. So a little bit of both, like there's a little bit of like that. You'll see that in a lot of places, but I know that there was some study taken 2009. Matt Stevens really dug into some study around how we shape our worship and how we orient our worship around kind of those pillars of this interaction between the story of the gospel and how the human brain and life works and how we orient ourselves in worship.
Definitely.
And out of that study and out of that time spent, there was kind of distilled a new shape that has remained consistent for about 10 years.
Yeah.
And has maybe not totally consistent for 10 years, but there's been change something over that course, but has moved more in that direction.
To be honest, like if I'm being really honest, like when I first came to Vintage, I was like, man, this, all this singing stuff is not really for me. So I came and I would just not really participate in that part. Like, you know, maybe my mouth a little bit wouldn't really let out any, if ever it was quiet around me, you wouldn't have heard me either. Right. And then it was probably when we came to a worship night, which I didn't know what I was getting myself into the first time. Jennifer's like, yeah, it's going to be like an hour of singing. Jeez, let's see what that's like. But honestly, completely different than what I thought it was going to be. And I thought it was like an hour of that was going to be a lot. And it's like, it wasn't enough. Like, and it was just, for me, the experience, it completely changed how I engage. And I think when you do sing and you do participate, it's just, like you said, it puts you in the posture to really worship and praise and be grateful for the Holy Spirit. Yeah, for me, it plays a big part.
Deep in the valley, under the shadow of day, you are my comfort, God. I rest in your faithfulness. Surrounded by darkness, you say you're still by my side. You promise to never leave, and you're not changing your mind. No, you're not changing your mind. When what I'm standing on cast me down into the depths, you are my solid ground. You are my safe place to rest. Days when I let you go, for the things of this world, you say you've chosen me, and you don't go back on your word. You don't go back on your word. When the waters rise and mountains fall, I belong to you, I belong to you. When I wander in the wilderness, I belong to you, I belong to you. In the presence of my enemies, I belong to you, I belong to you. My Redeemer will deliver me. I belong to you, I belong to you. This is my confidence and my unshakable hope. It's your never-ending love, won't ever let me go. I'm found in Jesus Christ. My sin has no power left, but death tries to reach for me. Your love is stronger than death. Your love is stronger than death. When the waters rise and mountains fall, I belong to you, I belong to you. When I wander in the wilderness, I belong. I belong to you. In the presence of my enemies, I belong to you. I belong to you. My Redeemer will deliver me. I belong to you. I belong to you. Yeah. In every moment, no matter what comes, this is my story. This is my song. In every moment, in every song, this is my song, this is my song. When the waters rise and mountains fall, I belong to you. I belong to you. When I wander in the wilderness, I belong to you. I belong to you. In the presence of my enemies, I belong to you. I belong to you. My Redeemer will deliver me. I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
That's awesome. I did not know we were going to get a new original, unreleased. Yeah. No, that was awesome. I can't wait to get the rest of the music behind it and get everyone praising together.
It,
ooh, it's gonna be good.
That's gonna be another
good one.
I'm excited.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and I'm excited for everyone in Vintage to kind of hear more about you and know who's standing up there singing a lot of Sundays and Thursdays.
Thanks, y'all. I'm honored.
Yeah, thank you.